Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix. Shit. Let's go hook him up.
Says I just whipped your ass.
You
take it all away.
I'm gonna
drag you until I wear your Texas ass out. The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
Not much. Just sitting here trying to order me a pizza.
It seems like you eat pizza every Friday.
Well, pizza's a Friday food. What can I say?
Yeah, you're actually right about that.
The weekend food, I guess.
I remember, like, back when I was a kid, my dad would take us out to eat on Fridays, and 9 out of 10 times, it was fucking Chunky Cheese or Fargo's Pizza or something like that.
Yeah. I used to love Chunky Cheese.
Anyway, I used to love Chunky Cheese back, because when I was young, they used to have, like, video games, but then when I got older and kind of stopped going, they kind of took out the games and put more rides and shit, so it was,
With all the balls in it.
Yeah, they have that at the Fargo too. I remember she would always escalate though, because there'd always be some asshole who's got to throw the balls real hard, and the next thing you know, fucking, there'd be straps in the ball pit.
I admit to, I used to love their Chuck E. Cheese to play video games. Do they even have arcades anymore? I don't even know.
I know that, like, on my Facebook page for the Vegas convention, Charlie posted a link to a nightclub that's, like, a bar that's filled with all these retro video games.
So, maybe cool.
Dropping by that to play some fucking Galaga and Galaxian and shit like that.
I've got my Roku, and they got, like, Galaga and a bunch of other games on here, so... I always fucked up on Galaga when I was trying to get them to capture my ship, and then I'd actually end up shooting my ship when I was trying to release it, so I had two ships, you know?
You ever fucking be stupid and you'd be on your last guy, and they tell them to get your ship, and you let them take you, and then you forgot, and you're like, oh, what the fuck?
That's I can't tell you how many times I did some stupid shit like that. God.
I mean, I didn't mind if I was on, like, the home game, but if that cost me a quarter because I did something stupid, I would be like, fuck.
I wish I knew how much money I dropped in arcades when I was younger. It's got to be thousands of dollars.
I used to fucking play so many video games when I was younger. I remember this one family that was really good friends of ours, for Christmas or something, they gave me this glass bottle, like, fucking Pac-Man drawn on it and all these other things, and it just said Eddie's arcade money, video game money. And I used to go all the time. When I used to go to Austin, they had a Malibu. You remember those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they had one of those, so I'd go play. Every time I go to Austin, I'd go fucking, they took me there. That'd be badass. But other than that, when I went to the movies, they had a bunch of games at the movie theater too.
They used to have a little store by my house in Vicksburg. They had one video game they had. They had Donkey Kong Jr. I used to play the shit out of that. I'd have my quarters all sitting right there on the machine, like people used to, you know. So anybody comes up, wait till I'm. I got these 20 quarters here. You're gonna have to wait till I'm done. So.
I remember my mom used to make me go. I had to go grocery shopping with her. She didn't want to leave me alone. They had like two games, and one of them was like the original Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And one with the arcade one, the original arcade one. And I used to be able to play that pretty much the whole time she was shopping. So that was actually pretty cool.
I don't know if it was impossible to like complete an arcade game.
I don't think you could complete an arcade game unless it was something like Dragon's Lair or something like that actually had like an end. Like arcade games, to me, they just keep going. Like you know, maybe like Kung Fu Master might have had so many levels on the video game, but I don't think it had an ending. I think it just reset it harder and harder each time. You know what I mean?
I think it wasn't until like Super Mario Brothers on Nintendo that I actually finished a. I thought about it. Actually, no. Because I paid to play that piece of shit ET game on Atari 2600, and I beat it.
Actually knew how to fucking play that? Because I had that game, and I knew how to pick up a few M&Ms or whatever the fuck they were, but that was it. I didn't know what the fuck else to do.
Pieces, faces. That's what it was.
What?
I don't remember. That was a game that was so bad that they took all the extra copies and dumped it in a landfill or something.
Yeah, they just found it. Like that. Did you hear about that?
The what?
Did you hear that they found them last week?
Oh, really? No, I didn't hear that.
That's
we just found where they buried them?
Okay, that story you just told about supposedly them burying them in the desert square? They fucking actually did that. That urban legend is true. They buried a fucking 18-wheeler or whatever the fuck. They buried it in the landfill, and they fucking found it last fucking week. And it was filled with ET games, and it had a few other ones, like there was a centipede game in there and a few other ones, but it was mainly the ET games. And yeah, that fucking urban legend was true.
I wonder if they found a landfill full of, like, a new Coke or something next to it, you know?
They could bring those over here. I didn't mind the new Coke. I mean, I like the original Coke better, but, I mean, it was still better than Pepsi.
I think really the first game I finished was Super Mario Brothers. I think that was the first one that I did the ET, but I don't think I knew what I was doing. But at Super Mario Brothers, I played shit out of that. I had to find the warp zone to get to the, you know, to skip. So.
Honestly, that's like when Nintendo and all them kind of started taking over. That's when I kind of slowly got away from playing video games. I had more fun playing the actual arcade game than the console. I just kind of like lost interest, and it's been a while since I've even played a video game, to be honest with you.
A bunch of years ago, I was at a mall or something, and they were selling these little video game controllers that had all those Nintendo games programmed into them. You could put them on your TV.
Oh, yeah. I always wanted to get one of those, but I always kind of just, like, you know, procrastinated and never got one. But, as soon as I saw that, I was like, that's, like, the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, I played, they had, like, a bunch of the Super Mario Brothers games. They had Donkey Kong Jr. and Galaga, I think, like, Excite Bike and all that shit on there. It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Paperboy, that was fun.
They didn't have Duck Hunt, though.
You know, Duck Hunt, that fucking gun always broke after a week after you bought the system anyway.
We got the, for Christmas this year, we got my mom and I got two nephews, and they got them, like, they got this Duck Dynasty game that comes with the rifle that you can shoot at the TV. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and so I beat that and beat all the high scores in like 5 minutes. It's so easy. So.
That's cool.
They were amazed I could do that.
I remember at the Malibu, they had a game that was like a skeet shoot, and the guns were like actual like guns, rifle size. and it'd be just a circle of light that would shoot across this, like, screen, and you'd have to shoot it with a fucking big-ass gun, man. I remember my dad used to always kick my ass at it.
You remember playing the, what was it, the game with the ball that you roll up, and it's got, like, all the little circles that you got to, holes you got to put the ball in, and you get, like, tickets, and you can buy shit?
The bowling thing?
Yeah, it was like just like one of those little bowling things that had like the different circles with the holes and you got tickets and you could buy all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I remember I had this friend who would like throw it right at the side and always make it right in the middle. It's like it was weird. And then we had this one dwarf in our that we went to school with, and she would just run down the thing and drop it in the middle and I guess they felt sorry for her for being a dwarf, so they never ever told her anything, so she'd always fucking have shingles and fucking tickets, dude. It was crazy.
You used to play that, and you used to play, they had the basketball game. The little bitty basketballs and stuff like that. And you had the, what was one of the other games was, what was the one with the Olympic game? Gosh, what's it? Triathlon or decathlon or something like that?
Yeah. You
hit the fucking things as fast as possible.
There was a way to cheat. You get like the comb, like one of those like small things in the comb, and you put it between your fingers, right over the buttons, and you just have to hit one side, and then the comb would hit both buttons, and you could fucking haul ass, dude.
Well, I never figured this one out 30 years ago.
Well, you weren't very bright, so I'm not surprised.
He said you just hear people with their slamming their hands down on those buttons as fast as possible, as I'm making a bunch of racket.
Yeah, they'd be making. It'd be hard to miss them. But I guess we can go ahead and start on some wrestling talk here. Had a lot of issues setting this show up. Unfortunately, Craig just is unable to do the show today. And then I did get a replacement to read the news, but unfortunately work called her into work like fucking an hour and a half right before the show, so that kind of sucked. Okay. So we were kind of decided what we were going to do. Like, I guess first we were going to do a show on factions, but then I said we'll just do it on news and then like do it on factions, but I guess we're going to stay with the news here. So I guess we can go ahead and start by previewing this Sunday's pay-per-view. Extreme Rules, the WWE. Are you looking forward to this pay-per-view?
Sure. There's a few good things on here.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad. And I guess let's start from the very beginning and work our way up. I hate when, like, Dave and Brian do UFC and they start from the top and work their way down. It's like
by the time you get to the shitty matches, why do you even want to talk about them anymore?
Yeah, like, what do I want to talk about?
You're supposed to build the excitement talking about the show. You're supposed to build the excitement talking about the show from starting with the three Tovers Hornswoggle WLC match.
This match can't be anything but fucking five stars and the greatest match in the history of pro wrestling.
I read today that they were bringing in short sleeve Samson. Do you know who that is?
I've seen him before. I just can't picture what he looks like.
He was on that show on True TV, that midget wrestling show that Hulk Hogan did.
I didn't
you remember
see the Hulk
that?
Hogan one. I only saw the other one.
The Hulk Hogan was pretty damn good. It was a bunch of bullshit. That was the one where Roderick Strong played the frat guy and tried to screw the midgets out of their pay, and they beat him up in the frat house.
Yeah, only Roderick Strong gets that beat by a bunch of midgets.
Yeah.
And those niggas are lucky though, because it's lucky it was for like Hulk Hogan or something, because then it was just some random midget. I can only imagine how bad he would beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Robbie's not at first to stiffing somebody.
I have no idea what this match is even going to be. I don't know if this is like a special match or they just called a wheel, so they just be funny.
I'm sure it's a little funny, but I'm sure they'll have step ladders. I'm sure they'll have, like, kitty-sized chairs and one of those, like, mini lawn tables and just little stuff like that. And Hornswoggle is actually, you know, a lot of people hate Hornswoggle, but Hornswoggle is actually a good performer. I mean, when he wants to, he's got some fucking fire. And when he fires up, I mean, he's awesome. I mean, and he's fucking actually pretty strong. I remember when he F5'd, or not F5'd, he FU'd a Tyson Kidd in the Royal Rumble and stuff. And Torito, I mean, honestly, Torito is pound for pound one of the best wrestlers in the world. It's just he doesn't have anyone his size really to wrestle, especially in WWE. You know, it's a different story.
Is
he
somebody
he
I would know like from Mexico under a different name?
He was one of the, I don't know if it was the one that was in WWE in the past. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's not because I'm pretty sure he's bigger, but I think he was one of the Mascaritas de Gata, the white one that they used to have.
Max Mini?
Like the Mini. But he's bigger than the one that was in WWE before, but I think he was one of those at one time.
He wasn't the one when they started the junior division and brought in Porky?
I'm not sure if he was one of those. It was because there were some small ones when they tried and Porky looked so big. But, I mean, those ninjas in Mexico are awesome.
I remember when they, WWF brought them in like 97, you know, to do matches. I think when they were doing something with Triple A, you remember that Royal Rumble in San Antonio? They brought AAA people in, and they had a bunch of the minis there. And remember, they had like Mini Goldust and Mini Vader and Mini Mankind and people like that.
Yeah, that was fucking awesome. Not too many people remember the Mini Goldust. They mainly remember Mankind and Vader, but I remember Mini Goldust. That was awesome.
Remember Max Mini? He dove off that big stage on Raw or something onto somebody on the floor once.
Yeah. Max Mini was like the original badass midget. I mean, he was, fuck that little dude, could do everything Torito could do, he could do, and he's like, he's more like Hornswoggle as far as, you know, having smaller arms and legs, you know what I mean? But he could still do all these fucking flips and bounce around everywhere and do, and El Torito, he's got a little more size on him, he's fucking awesome. And,
In Mexico, who was the really, was it like one that was like extra small, was like Blue Monkey or something like that? Like really small?
Yeah, Blue Monkey, he was a midget, and he's actually a manager, and he's actually like in his 60s. Like when he did that famous clip where he got kicked out of baseball slides, kicked out of the ring, and he did the sunset, the fucking, what do you call it, the Evan Bourne thing, the shooting star press? On his way to hitting the announce table, that dude was like in his 60s at that time. Maybe in his 50s, but he was an old dude. And he's just like, there's ninjas and dwarves. Dwarves are short, but they're normal proportions. I could be totally kind of backwards, but midgets are short, but they have, you know, a normal torso, but small arms and legs.
Remember when the hookers drug two midgets and killed them?
I'm sorry, what?
You remember when the hookers drugged those two midgets and killed them a few years ago?
Yeah, and then when they fucking caught those hookers were like in their 50s and old and ugly. It's like, what would they even waste their money on those bitches for? And those fucking bitches, poison, you know, they gave them like, they spiked their drink. But since they were midgets, they had too much fucking whatever in it and it fucking killed them.
Yeah. I shouldn't laugh at that, but I can't help but laugh at that. I'm sorry.
You're just the wrong person.
I just imagine, like, Mexican midgets that they would pay for, like, 50-year-old hookers in Mexico or something like that. This sounds something like what happened in Mexico, you know?
Well, I mean, even like, did you ever read Chris Jericho's book where he talks about he picked up a rat in Mexico and they drove out of the city and then she pulled the gun on him and robbed him and took all his shit and left him out there?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, that happened to him in Mexico, so. I think, I'm sure El Torito, whatever his name is going to win. But I'm very much looking forward to this match. I actually wish it was on the pay-per-view.
Are you able to watch these shows at work now with the network on your, like, phone or something? Are you able to watch these shows at work now?
Well, I'm too busy at work to be holding my phone or watching, but the last few times I missed work, they fucked up and then put me down for a sick day, so I still have a sick day, so I think I'm calling in and taking a sick day and watching it live.
And even if you would miss it, you can do as much replay when you get home anyway, so.
Yeah. But I'm watching this shit live, because I know, like, at break, I'm going to get on the fucking internet and fucking see what happens, and I'm probably just watch, you know, see what happens as it goes off.
Yep. I'm having to watch the, yeah, they, because, you know, they canceled it on Dish and DirecTV, so internet's the only way to watch it now, at least for me. So, anyway. Go ahead.
It's R-Truth and Xavier Woods versus Alexander Rusev with who I think is becoming the hottest chick on TV right now, Lana.
She is pretty hot.
She is fucking smoking. Her legs might not be as long as Stacey Kubler's, but her legs have more fucking meat on them. And she's got a little more chunk in her trunk than Stacey Kubler did. And just that mean Russian, I don't know, just everything about her is fucking sexy.
I love the voice.
Yeah, the voice is awesome.
Alexander Rusev, is he not anybody else but me of Taz? He looks just like him, doesn't he?
He reminds me of a bigger, fatter version of Taz.
Yeah. He looks just like him in the face.
Yeah, now that you mention that, he kind of does. I'd have to actually see like a live picture to really tell, but now that I think about it, you're right.
He's just not that orange.
Hopefully they'll keep this short and just have him beat him down real quick. I think there's a small chance he could get over, but they gotta do it, right? But a lot of it has to do with her. I mean, she's gonna get over. And every time she comes out on TV, I have to text Sherry that was going to a co-host tonight and say that all I can think about is Lana, me, her in a hotel room, and it's just over. But it's not going to be a great match, but it's not supposed to be. It's just going to be a one-sided ass-kicking, you know what I mean? They've got a mission, and I'm sure they'll accomplish it. I'll let you do the next.
The next match is RVD against Cesaro and versus Jack Swagger in a triple threat match. I don't know. I may go with RVD on this one. Kind of the only baby face in the match. Even though Cesaro is very popular.
Yeah, Cesaro's weird because he's still a heel, but he's cheered like a face almost. Not totally, but almost. And then, you know, Jack Swagger's the fear here. It's going to be awesome because it's going to have Paul Lee and it's going to have Zeb. And Paul Lee just somehow gets better and better and better and better and better. You know, every year. I don't know. He's so good.
It's funny because, you know, Cesaro, he's, like, very popular, but you put him, I don't know if he's supposed to be a heel or what, because Heyman comes out every week and reminds everybody that Brock Lesnar broke Undertaker's streak to get some heat. So, I don't know.
Well, I'm sure they'll end up using that to make the face turn, so, you know, I'm just getting sick of it. But for now, you know, I kind of thought they should have gone full face turn after WrestleMania, but you know they put him with Heyman, and I can't complain about anything that Heyman's in, and hopefully it'll lead somewhere. So I'm thinking Cesaro is going to end up winning and beating Jack Swagger because they really do want to push Cesaro down the road. So RVD can look badass; he just doesn't have to get the pin, you know.
Jack Swagger's one going to get beat here, pretty sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to I hope they do Cesaro and Brock at some point because I think they could be a great match.
Yeah, because he'd be strong enough to surprise Brock and throw Brock around, you know what I mean? And Brock would be all freaking out.
Yeah.
So, as far as Strongman, I'm way more into Cesaro than the guy in the next match.
Who's that? Big E?
Yeah, the next match is the Intercontinental title match with the tournament winner, Wade Barrett. Bad News Barrett against Big E.
I love Bad News Barrett.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how, like, Brian and a bunch of people hated the gimmick, and I actually thought it was kind of funny. I didn't know where it was going to go, but I don't know. Just somehow I knew it was going to kind of get him over, and it did.
The podium was a good step. I feel like how it just rises and it's above everybody else.
Oh, I love the one paper you wear, bro.
Yeah. I would put it on Wade Barrett. I would go with him.
Yeah, you know, it would add some credibility to the Intercontinental title, because now the Intercontinental title would be the linear world champion. But then again, you know, who was the last time the Intercontinental champion actually won a match? The only match they win is when they win the title, and then they lose until they lose it.
Yeah, I hate when they do shit like that. It's so stupid. God.
Yeah. The thing with Big E is, the dude is freakishly strong, and he's freakishly agile, and he does have some charisma, but it's just not working for me right now. A lot of it's that stupid finishing maneuver. It's the stupidest. I still can't believe Lance has the fucking audacity to tell me that it's a better finishing maneuver than the fucking Cobra. Lance, the Cobra is a fucking strike to the throat. You can kill a man by hitting him in the throat. How are you going to hurt a man by having him land on your big fat titty?
Yeah, just like just when he puts him up like he's going for like kind of like old Bulldog power slam, and it just drops like
yeah, drops on top of him on top of his big ass tech. How does that hurt a man?
I don't know.
But I mean, hopefully they can save Big E. I mean, he's young and has potential. It's just not working right now. And Barrett's been good. I mean, he's a decent worker. And especially when he's got someone like a Sheamus or another mean, big guy, and they have a mean guy match, he's really good at that. And
yeah, I really like that match they had the other night. It was a great match. I was kind of surprised Wade Barrett won clean, because Sheamus has been, he's been pushed pretty good for the last few years. So.
Yeah. Well, it was a way to, like, push Barrett, and then, you know, they did give Sheamus his wins back, after. So.
Could you imagine back in the day, you have, on Superstars, you have Randy Savage in, and he just fucking, like, loses to fucking Tito Santana for no reason, and it leads to nothing,
Yeah.
Only time he loses, like, the Intercontinental Champion loses if they're facing the World Champion or something. He's facing Hulk Hogan or something like that. I hate when they do all that stuff like that. It's so stupid. Go ahead with the next one.
The next match is Paige versus Tamina. And Paige is fucking awesome. And, they've been putting her, what's stupid is they've been putting in her, I don't mind Asana, but, they want to have Paige shine. They need to put her in there with fucking Natty, and they need to put her in there with chicks that really know how to work. Tamina can actually work. She's still green, but she's better than Asana. And she does have, like, the size, so you can tell the story of, like, the size difference. But fucking Paige is fucking awesome. And I was actually happy, like, some people were saying it was, like, two baby faces doing a match on Raw. She was working as a heel. I mean, not totally, but she, her aggressiveness, her yelling, she was working as a heel. And she's going to get over even more when she goes heel, because she's fucking a fantastic heel. She's really good at just talking shit and being a whiny fucking bitch when she's fucking having a match, trying to the referee and, she's fucking really good at that.
I haven't seen much of her. I haven't seen really any of her NXT stuff, so.
Yeah. You should see some of, find, like, some stuff with her mom. Her mom, I swear to God, her mom has the greatest psychology for any woman in the history of fucking pro wrestling. I mean, she's
her mom's a wrestler?
Yeah, her mom, Soraya Knight, Brian interviewed her one time. And,
really? I recognize the name. I just didn't know that.
Yeah, it's because she, her name, Paige's name in Shimmer was Brittany Knight. And so Soraya Knight's her mom. And her mom is like, not really that old. She's older, but she's only in her 40s because Paige is so young, you know?
Hmm. Yeah.
And she, but she has like, you know, she's got the bright red hair like Eva Marie. But she just looks like, it's funny because on that interview with Brian, she came off as the sweetest old lady ever. But her character is she is the meanest, bitter bitch in the whole world. I swear to God, when I had never heard of her. You know, we went to that Shimmer show in New York, and they're getting ready for the match. And I knew who the main event was, but I had never seen her. And Daz told me, he's like, dude, she's gonna blow your mind. She's the best at, you know, he was telling me, she's the best at, you know, at her, what do you call it? I just said it a minute ago. Her, like, what the fuck is Jake the Big known for?
Do what now?
What do you call it? Like, her ring psychology. He was going on about that. And then she comes out, and she walks real slow, and has this mean look, and she stops, and she looks at me. And I swear to God, I literally took a shit in my pants, dude. This fucking old, this woman just scared the living shit out of me just by looking at me. That's how good her fucking psychology is. I mean, she's just, like I say, the scariest, most meanest, bitter bitch in the world. And I hope, like Dave, when we're talking about with Dave Krazak, that they actually bring her in for, like, maybe a program. Not for, like, mm-hmm. you know, they don't have to keep too long, but bring her in, have her, like, either, like, trying, like she's trying to turn Paige heel, or she could be mad, like, why is her name just Paige and not Paige Knight, and are you ashamed? And then they could have a feud, and they'd have an awesome match. So hopefully they'll do something like that down the line. But I think it'll be decent. I mean, I think
Tamina's
it'll be better
worker.
Than...
I said Tamina's a good worker, so...
Yeah, she does have an awesome super kick. I think I saw a thing on an NXT show where she super kicked the fuck out of Paige and almost literally knocked her out. So,
She kicked one of the Bellas that one time on Raw and, like, they killed her.
Didn't she, like, knock out one of Nikki's teeth or something?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. She knocked out one of her teeth. And she was all upset on Total Divas. And didn't want John Cena to deal with missing the tooth because he might break up with
and
it.
But then Bree was going to shoot on her after that.
Oh, God. Can we go to the episode yet where what's her name gets the broken orbital socket?
For who gets the broken orbital? Oh, no, not yet.
I assume that's coming up. They got to be doing a show on that. Might kick that one out because that was pretty brutal.
I would imagine. And it's got a climax with her when she had her slick, like, eye patch on. And that was all bad. Next match. And who knows what the next year is going to be. But we'll go with John Cena versus Bray Wyatt in a cage match. And Brian Alvarez just proved how he's the biggest idiot in the whole world by not liking that opening segment on Raw. I'm sorry, but that's one of the greatest visuals in the history of fucking Raw. Those kids singing, and then somehow it got better when they all put on the fucking lap mask, and then the one, like, on his lap. I mean, that's just the creepiest, scariest thing I ever fucking seen on Raw.
And it does not matter where the kids came from. Jesus Christ.
I know, right? It's like, last couple of shows, Brian's been like, oh, I just want to reach my head through my fucking speakers in my car and just choke the shit out of me. Like, shut up, motherfucker.
He's a cult leader. He has followers. His followers have children. He's brainwashed them. That's where they came from.
Yeah.
But nobody cares when, like, Kane comes out and shoots lightning at his asshole or something like that. You know, that doesn't bother anybody. But this does. You still there? He got knocked off the switchboard. Sorry, everybody. If everybody's still on, I don't know. Something has happened, and Ed is not here, and I'm checking. Usually I have the switchboard up, but I was ordering pizza, so I didn't have the switchboard up, so I'm going to check the switchboard. And this is horrible radio. But anyway, and my Kindle doesn't want to cooperate right now and bring me the switchboard, so don't know what I'm doing. Hold on. See? Oh, this is great. Go to my studio and Blog Talk Radio. Always a good time. And it doesn't want to open. Ed?
All right, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I got my phone hung up for some fucking reason.
There's
so
one day I don't get hooked up to the switchboard. Of course.
That's funny.
So they had to hear me, navigate through Blog Talk on my Kindle and all that stuff. That was pretty horrible.
Yeah. So anyway, we're back. So we'll go ahead. And
normally I just play until you came back home, but I didn't have the chance to. I was ordering pizza, and then I did not have the switchboard up. So.
It was Katrina's fault, so we'll just leave it at that. But I think the match will be decent. I think Cena, of course, will have it win, but he won't be able to escape because of the. Of Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, and you know, hopefully Rowan and Eric will get to LB. Rowan and Harper will be able to get parts on get to do something, because Harper has become, he's awesome. I mean, he's really good.
I've noticed that lately.
Yeah. I like how he fucking does the pays. All that work in Chikara really helped him, because he learned how to work like Lucha style. So he knows how to base for the little guys, and he also knows how to do the stuff that the little guys can do. So, yeah, he's fucking been fantastic.
The other guy is growing. You kind of forget he's there half the time.
Except when he's got the mask on.
Yeah, when he's got the mask on, that's true. But I would put Bray Wyatt over in this match. So, but
yeah.
John Cena won. Last one, so.
Yeah.
I was thinking eventually they may go to Bray Wyatt and Daniel Bryan, because even though they still got that thing where he beat him back in January, so they could do a one-on-one program with him or something.
Yeah, and that was a real good match. That might have been the best match on that show.
Yeah,
like I say, it's not going to hurt Cena to lose, especially if they protect him by, you know, him having it won, but the other two keep him from winning and stuff. So, it's weird though, because it's like you know they got to end on a happy note. So, who's going to end the show? I think if Cena's the main event, the last match, I think he's winning. If it's not the last match, I think he's losing.
Yeah, if Evolution and the Shield is like the semi main, isn't the main event, then Evolution may be going to win.
I would imagine they're winning just for the fact that Dave Bautista is leaving after the match, you know what I mean? So they have an out to take, you know, for him to get taken out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they could all, like, kill him at the end, you know, put him through the triple power bomb or whatever. So,
yeah, and I think Daniel Bryan, I don't think it's any question he's going to beat Kane unless they totally lost their mind. You know, so I could see that being like the feel-good ending of the show.
Yeah, I could see that going on last. I could see Evolution Shield with the Shield winning, then Cena losing, then Bryan winning. That's how I would, you know what I mean?
I think Evolution and Shield goes on last if the Shield is winning. I would think maybe. I think they're going. Evolution will probably win if they go on a little bit earlier. So.
Yeah. But But I'm sure it'll be a decent match.
Yeah.
You know, you just gotta let Rollins and what's the other little one? Goddamn, drawing a blank.
Ambrose.
Yeah, let Ambrose and Rollins, and then let Triple H and Orton do most of the work. You know, let Reigns and Batista have their spot, but don't let them fucking go crazy and wrestle too much. And I think it'll be a great match. I mean, it's amazing how good the Shield are as babyfaces. I mean, somehow this generation's Teddy Blanchard, the most unlikable person, is fucking awesome babyface and Pearl. It blows my mind how good Ambrose is at it. And then Rollins is just a fucking house of fire when he wants to be.
I have to expect. I'm kind of expecting those two to turn on the Roman Reigns, and they could do that in this match.
I don't think they'll do it that soon. I think they're gonna want his like Roman's big turn to either be closer to SummerSlam or closer to Mania.
Well, I think they had already the plan was for like Roman Reigns and Hunter at SummerSlam, right?
I'm not too sure, actually.
Yeah, I think I read that in the Observer or something like that. That was one of the working plans at this point. So maybe I could see those two turning and joining Evolution. Because, you know, Triple H was saying all this stuff, you know, you either adapt or you just get destroyed, and maybe they'll adapt and join up with them or something. So
yeah, that would make them a four-man team. That's actually kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
They could take Batista's place, you know what I mean?
Seth Rollins is really good. He's been sticking out to me like the hot, sports plug on that team, you know.
Yeah, I like it when he does those double flying dives. Like he'll dive on one guy on one side and then go and dive on the other guy on the other side.
And, yeah,
he gets on fire sometimes.
And then we got the main event with Daniel Bryan defending the title against Kane in Extreme Rules match. It doesn't even seem like Daniel Bryan's had a chance to be the champion yet, has it? He's gone on his honeymoon, and then his dad died, and he had to leave. And it doesn't really seem like he's been on that much, so.
Yeah, it's been a crazy week. And then that little kid from the Daniel Bryan WrestleMania special died last week, too. So, and then he actually took that kid was at Mania. He took the kid to Mania with his guest. And, you know, that just adds to it. I mean, he won a champion and got married and then, like, you know, a lot of...
I feel like he's probably been on the show at all since then.
Yeah. But, you know, basically, he's going to get beat up for a while, and then he's going to beat Kane clean and move on to the next challenger.
I was predicting he's going to – they made a big deal about the mask. Maybe he's going to unmask Kane, and Kane loses his killer instinct, and then he beats him.
Probably. I'm sure he'll rip it
off.
Maybe
he'll take the mask off, and then he'll – put the mask on and destroy Kane.
That would actually be pretty. Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people are bitching, oh, it's Kane. Well, Kane's a perfectly fine first opponent for him because they have history. He's fucking the mother of his soul. You know what I mean?
He can carry anybody.
Yeah. He can. He'll. It's a good thing to decide to win for his first title defense. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, there's nobody else available, really. I mean,
yeah,
it's too early for them to like put like Cesaro or somebody like that in there because Cesaro is just, it's not his, he shouldn't be like losing in a big match at this point, I don't think. So,
yeah.
There really was nobody else with Evolution and Bray Wyatt all tied up with other people, so.
Well, what I wouldn't mind seeing for his second opponent is saying that he wants to be a true world champion, so he wants to challenge people from all over the world, and then they bring in Kenta and have a main event of him against Kenta, because that would be fucking phenomenal, even though no one would know who the fuck Kenta is, but that'd be some shit.
Yeah, Yeah, but the, you know, the Japanese, they generally haven't done well in WWE, you know, as far as the big stars.
Well, it's because they don't let them be big stars, you know what I mean?
I mean, I thought they did the best in WWE was probably Tajiri. I thought he did pretty darn good.
Tajiri did pretty good. He was only there for a short time, but he did all right, you know? So, you know, we'll see what happens.
He was pretty damn entertaining and all that stuff that he did, even when it was just like the contact stuff. Tasha?
Oh, yeah. And Funaki.
Yeah. There's that match you had with Triple H on that Raw at one time. That was a fucking awesome match.
Yeah, that was pretty fucking great.
They had me believing he'd best win the world title.
Yeah.
You remember when the Babyfaces won that match and Survivor Series and all got to be GMs and Maven gave himself a title match? And he had this awesome match with Triple H, and they had me believing Maven was going to beat Triple H for the world title on Raw. It was such a good match, so.
Well, I didn't think it was
going
to be. It was a good match.
Yeah.
But we only set the show for like an hour, and I'm kind of distracted because I'm watching the birds in the background. So we got 15 minutes, but we'll just run through the rest of the news real quick.
Okay, you want me to pick something, and I'll talk about it?
Yeah, go ahead and pick first, yeah.
Okay, well, we got a... Here's one, David Benoit to make his pro wrestling debut. David Benoit, the 21-year-old son of Chris, will make his pro wrestling debut in the Heart Legacy Wrestling Show on July the 18th in Calgary, teaming with Chavo Guerrero Jr., who was one of Chris's best friends and traveling partner at the time of his death. And Benoit has been training for a while with Gary Smith. This is a weird one. I don't know how to feel about this.
Yeah, it's kind of like... When I sent the news to Sherry, she texted me right away and was like, really, Chris Benoit's son? You think he could ever make it? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think so, just for the fact that, you know, even if they change his name and give him a different gimmick, people are still going to know it's Benoit's son. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not this kid's fault. He just,
It's not his fault, but it's still, he's in a bad situation just because of who he is.
I mean, if I was like the WWE, I don't know if I would want to hire him, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just too weird. TNA would probably hire him for a freak show thing and promote him as Chris Benoit's son.
Yeah. But
I don't know how you react to that, because I don't know if I would want to hire him if I was like WWE or somebody.
Yeah, hopefully he'll get some work. I mean, like I say, it's not his fault, but it's going to be hard. I didn't want to say one thing about...
His grandfather's thrilled about this, you know?
Yeah.
Went to see against, you know, like, whole wrestling business when that thing went down. But he looks just like him. It's like, have you ever seen a picture of him?
No, not actually.
Yeah, he looks just like him.
I didn't know the Heart Legacy Wrestling shows. I think they're run by Teddy Hart, if I'm not mistaken.
I guess so. I'm not sure.
Okay, did you hear about Teddy Hart? Did you hear about Teddy Hart WrestleMania weekend?
No. What?
Okay, you remember he once did an interview where he talked about he wanted to train cats and dogs and have them be like...
Yeah.
Okay, He wrestled on the Dragon's Cage show. I think it was the Dragon's Cage show. There's so many shows I could be wrong, but it was one of the shows because one of the guys went and took a picture. He brought his cat. He has this white cat. And he put this cat on top of the turnbuckle, and the cat stayed there the whole fucking match.
That's awesome.
My friend has a picture of a fucking cat just sitting on the fucking turnbuckle like, what the fuck? And hopefully that's just the first step, and hopefully he'll have, like I say, you know, he can start fighting outside the ring and lift up the canvas, and then instead of grabbing a chair, have five or six attack cats just fucking swarm and attack his opponent. That'd be fucking the greatest shit ever.
He's a whack job, but he's one hell of a talented wrestler. Unfortunately,
yeah,
he got a... an attitude.
He's a little kind of like a reach card in some ways, man.
Yeah, I think some ROH stuff back when he was there, like many years ago. And he was just an awesome wrestler. Him and Jack Evans, too. You know, remember when he, when they were together?
Jack Evans, luckily he's able to wrestle in Mexico. You know, his size doesn't hurt him in Mexico. But, yeah, that dude's awesome. He's just training, dude.
Did Brian train him or something? Or was that the story? Or
what was that?
Did Brian train Jack Evans or something? Or he was...
That's what Jack Evans claimed, and I think they worked out some, but I don't think he can actually say he trained him.
I do remember I was seeing some kind of news story on like a channel like maybe in Washington or something, and they had a story on Jack Evans, and then the rumor Brian was on there, and so
I don't remember that, but. Let's go ahead and move to the next one, and that is Lee Marshall, who was, I guess, best known for doing, like, the hotline in WCW, but he was also, like, one of the main announcers for the AWA, and when the AWA was, like, on ESPN. And he was a pretty decent announcer, and he had a great voice. He was actually a disc jockey, so he had to have a good voice. But I did not know this, that he was fucking Tony the Tiger, until Dave brought it up, and now that I think about it, yeah, he was Tony the Tiger.
Yeah, you didn't know until he said it. I didn't. When I read that he was Tony the Tiger, I said, "You know, he sounds just like him." So, I never knew that. So, that was a pretty big deal. When Tony the Tiger, you know, lost a place. That's one of like the most iconic things, in like pop culture or whatever, you know.
I used to
want to
eat blocks of plates because I
saw Tony the Tiger on fucking TV. He had a great voice. He was one of these people with these great voices. That'd be a plum thing to be like one of these people with these voices. You know.
Yeah.
Just do silver work, man. There's gotta be some easy shit. You know.
Yeah, he had
enough voice. I remember he was the announcer for the Terry Von Erich Jerry Lawler match, Super Clash 3.
Yeah, that's right.
And
he was good.
Yeah, he won 1-800 Correct Road Reports on Nitro, where he was saying he's in so-and-so town, even though he's backstage.
I
think Dusty Rhodes nicknamed him Stagger Lee, so...
He was
the ring announcer at WrestleMania 2 in Los Angeles. He was the ring announcer there.
Oh, wow. I totally forgot about that.
Yep.
And, we'll go to another big show coming up. They're going to have another NXT show. This one's going to be called NXT TakeOver. And they look like they're going to have some good matches. I mean, they're going to have Adrian Neville, who's badass against Tyson Kidd, so they're like the perfect size for each other. So I'm sure this will be a non-stop fucking fast-paced all-action match, and I'm kind of excited to see it. Hopefully they can showcase Adrian Neville, and that should be good. They're going to have Natalya against Charlotte, because I guess they're going to put Charlotte, Ric Flair's daughter, and that's like the best person to have her wrestle, you know what I mean?
I haven't really seen her. She's decent.
She can do stuff already. She's got a long way to go. Don't get me wrong. She is still very green, but she's a hell of an athlete, and she's way better than she should be at this point. You know what I mean?
Her husband just debuted for TNA in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, her husband was there in developmental, but apparently there was some kind of incident with a police officer and he got fired.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that. They're slowly making her look prettier.
Mm-hmm.
And she was pretty, just not diva pretty, but they're slowly you know, she's slow. They're slowly getting her to look prettier, you know, changing, like, her hair, her makeup, this, that. So they're doing a good job with her. Hopefully they don't rush her. And then another match is going to be Sami Zayn against Tyler Breeze. Tyler Breeze is one of Landstorm's students, and I got to meet him at WrestleMania. After WrestleMania, we were parking down Frenchman Street, and it was pretty cool. And I took a picture with him, and he did that. He does this, like, funky, like, half smile on the other side of his lips, like doing some weird thing. And he did that, and he was pretty cool. And he's supposed to be pretty good. He doesn't really get to. He hasn't really had like a whole lot of like great matches because they really haven't let him be in matches. He's more like a gimmick and storyline, and he's kind of like, I guess the best way to describe him, he's kind of like Zoolander, where he's like a supermodel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's always taking, like, selfies of himself, and hopefully he'll get to shine, get the matches. So I'm sure that'll be a good show. I like the last NXT show that they did, and so that should be pretty cool.
Here's a story about, I was going to get to this Nancy Gray story before we go here.
Well, let me throw out the plug real quick, and then I'll let you go. So everyone, check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. You can download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Contrera, and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. Excuse me. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
So you can go to youtube.com/Contrera. I got a bunch of old wrestling videos up there. I haven't really been to it that much since I got the network, because I've been on it most of the time. So there's still a bunch of good stuff up there. So you can bring and check it out. I was going to get to this story real quick, this Nancy Grace story. Because Nancy Grace wants to make amends with wrestling fans. Because reports are that Nancy Grace wants to make amends with wrestling fans that draw a negative reaction to her show with DDP. She has scheduled a show with RJ Brewer on April the 24th, but it was postponed and rescheduled for May the 1st, which I guess was today or yesterday. Anyway, DDP was on with Sam Roberts and called her a fucking cunt. He said he was ultimate warrior. And ended up bombarded with steroid accusations. Roddy Piper claimed he was asked to be on the show as well, but indicated WWE didn't want him to do it, so he didn't. Now, if you're going on the Nancy Grace show, isn't that like a show about legal issues and the law? How could you not know they were going to ask you about steroids with the Ultimate Warrior's death? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, he should have been smarter about that. He's a salesman, so he probably figured he could get some plugs for, you know, his yoga. And I can't be surprised that they sabotaged the way they put it. And they have no shame. There was like she was covering some story about some lady who killed her kids, and the hashtag was some fucking just some
Vodka fucking mom?
Thing, huh?
Like Vodka Mom or something?
Maybe it was a bucket or something. It was some. Fucking
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was almost disgusting. That's what the mom did to her kids. I mean, geez, it was
Did you ever see the clip of when, you know, they had the big, like, rape scandal at Duke or something like that at Duke University? And,
yeah, the rape, yeah, and, I remember that, but I never saw anything with her on that.
Oh, it was like, they had the guy that was, I guess he was a sports reporter for Duke, and they were talking about, you know, I guess they had these rape cases or several of them, and she went to him and said, why don't you give us the stats on this? And so he started going over the football fucking stats, like the football team and the season, and she said, I don't mean the football stats, I mean the rape stats, you know, the statistics. it's like the worst thing I've ever seen. It was like so awkward. And, yeah, God. It was a horrible show.
that's what those shows are. You know what I mean? Those shows are for just controversy and make ratings, and that's just, you know, that's just what it is. You know, you gotta see with it. I mean, I thought it was fucked up, but I didn't get outraged like a lot of people because I expected it. I mean, I knew that. I saw the show the fucking day.
To be fair to that, the big thing was like they were talking about all the dead wrestlers and they were putting a list on the screen and it flashed like Owen Hart's name and I think it was somebody that didn't die from drugs, like Adrian Adonis and I think like Brady Boone, Mark Curtis, the referee that died of cancer, flashed his name.
Yeah.
And people were saying, well, she said Owen Hart died of drugs. And it didn't even come close to saying anything of that sort. And the only thing is if somebody wasn't a wrestling fan and didn't know, they would think that she was saying all these people died of drugs. But, you don't know. But, still.
Yeah. We'll do one last one real quick before we go. The Hardcore Road Trip fiasco. Basically, the Hardcore Road Trip promotion, which ran an afternoon and evening show on 4/26 in London, Ontario, had major problems over the weekend. Some of the wrestlers who only worked the afternoon shows did get paid. The first sign of problems was Devon not appearing because apparently they didn't pay him his advance. At the evening show, the wrestlers were told that the promoter, who went by the name Mark Livingston, had suffered a heart attack. Many of the wrestlers knew immediately what that meant. I'm sure they did. Since the promoter claiming a heart attack or faking a suicide attempt and being in the hospital is a scam that has been done to avoid paying talent in the past. At the show, ring announcer Stephen D'Angelo told fans what happened and asked if any fans who had passports would be able to get the talent across the border to the U.S. to where they could fly home. Since the promotion was expected to provide transportation, several fans helped talent out, allowing them to stay at their homes for the night and taking them across the border. I know one of the wrestlers that was Big Vito. Big Vito like stayed at a fan's house and then they drove him. And it's funny because there used to be this one valet. She was only in the business for a little bit, named Jade Chung. And I hadn't heard from her in years, like 4 years, and I guess she just came out of retirement and did this show, and then this happened. And luckily, she's from Canada, so it didn't really affect her too bad. But, yeah, that's pretty fucked up, you know.
I'm always amazed when these stories happen, still, when they would
threaten from day. You know, in this day and age, shit like this is still happening.
I don't know. It's just... Some people just have no shame when they're trying to plan something and just rip people off. Which just sounds like what this is right here. It's like a total just a scam and ripping people off. You know, I don't get it.
Apparently this guy's changed his name and run shows under different names because of shit like that's happening. So it's not even the first time with this one guy. So it's like, it really sucks when shit like this happens. I mean.
Because I don't know where anybody would want to run a wrestling function in the first place. It's like life is losing money. So,
like I saw a post from Brandon Oliver, who runs the RCW promotion here in San Antonio, and his show's actually doing pretty decent. But he made a post where one of his shows lost like $2,000 and stuff, and it's like, you know what I mean? You gotta be willing to accept that. Like he was talking about how he accepted it and it's not a problem. If it happens every once in a while, he's going to take care of his wrestlers and this and that. And these other guys, you know, they just want to be, they're just marching. They want to run a show. They want to be in charge and hang out with the wrestlers, and they're not prepared. And, you know, you shouldn't run a show unless you can pay everyone before the show starts. You know, if you got to wait for the gate, you're fucked, you know.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you're not going to make that money back to pay everybody. And, I remember reading where Rudy Boy Gonzalez had read about his show. I don't know if he was on it or not, but the promoter wasn't able to pay people. So some of the wrestlers went back and they stole like the sound system that they were using for the show. But the sound system didn't belong to the promoter. It belonged to some other dude who was getting fucked because now he lost his sound system. You know what I mean? And he got fucked because they took it out on him instead of the promoter. So it's like, you know, it sucks that there's still that shady part of the business, but, you know, I think that's always going to be the case in pro wrestling.
I hear about these stories. I would never want to work in this business or anything unless it's...
Yeah.
You want to let me work inside the WWE, you know, the library or something? the footage library with all his different libraries that they own. You put me in there, and yeah, I'll work the itch of the day I die, but no, I don't want to do none of this shit.
Yeah. I think the story on this
was also somebody that didn't get paid swiped a laptop or something that the guy owned and took out his payment.
Well, at least they got that, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll go ahead and end the show. Lance was supposed to do the show this week, but he had to pick up some students at the airport. I guess he's got new students coming in. So maybe we can get him on next week, but he'll be on real soon.
Real quick, I wanted to tell you this. My mom, she just got into The Walking Dead, and she finally recorded all the, when it ended a couple of weeks ago, they had replayed all the most recent seasons, so she had recorded them and watched all of them. And she got to the one with the two little girls. Remember that episode?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I got a text, and it didn't say what WTF this time. It just said, holy fucking shit. With a text from my mom after watching that episode, which was a fucked up episode, too.
Yeah, that was a pretty fucked up episode, but it was actually pretty good. I mean, it was pretty shocking. But have you been watching Games of Thrones?
No, I don't have HBO.
Oh. I would suggest that one. That's a good show. And Archer, do you watch Archer?
No, was that one of those FX shows, like a comedy or something?
Yeah, it's a cartoon. It's an FX show cartoon. Dude, this show, you got to watch the show. This show is fucking awesome. The dude's like the biggest douchebag, and he's like 007, and he's the world's biggest douchebag.
Hey, have you been watching Legends House?
I've only seen the first episode so far, and I thought it was awesome. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I just highly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I watched the... Just watched the most recent. There's, I think, three episodes in. I watched the most recent one last night. It's pretty good. They had them go bowling against these old women in this bowling tournament, or this bowling league, and they had to make, like, commercials or something. I think I like Hillbilly Jim the best out of everybody.
Yeah, he's cool. I liked how Tony got all pissed off at Jim. I saw Jim Duggan. I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, Tony's like, just seems like there's just something not right with him. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, and I couldn't stop laughing when Pat Patterson asked that guy if he liked fucking me. that's just fucking cold right there.
And the Piper comes off as the guy. Remember, like, every other season, it seemed like on Ultimate Fighter, there'd be the one guy that was going off by himself and leaving the house and walking around and stuff and wanting to be alone. That's sort of Piper came off.
You remind me of fucking, what was that show on VH1 where they had, like, the B-list celebrities?
It's Real Life.
The Real Life.
With China,
the Real Life?
No,
yeah,
it's Real Life.
It reminds me of the one with China. It reminds me of China from that, because he's all, like, going crazy, you know what I mean? Walking around, just, like, on the edge. It's like, uh-oh.
I just don't remember I watched that season with China, and they showed up, and they were all going to go pick out the rooms. And so she goes to pick out the room, and she goes in there, and she sets all her stuff up in this room, and there's, like, a little mini bar, and... But there's also like a little mini chest and a mini bed, because this is a room for Mini Me that they had to make for him, because he's on the show too. And she didn't realize that, and he told her, "Look here, you stupid bitch, this is my room. Look at the size of this fucking bed, you know, you fucking idiot." And they had to talk her into getting the fuck out of this room that they had built for him.
Yeah, I remember that. That was crazy.
I just remember good. Mini Me was on like one of those rascals, and he was scooting around drunk as Cooter Brown and fell off of it or something in his underwear. What a horrible show.
I remember he was making weird noises and stuff. And...
That was the one show where X-Pac showed up. You remember that?
Yeah.
And they made him look all bad, like he was some kind of a slime ball that was, like, manipulating China or something like that.
Yeah, I remember that. Was that the season with Charles?
With who?
With Charles, the Mexican singer?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay. I just remember she was old as fuck by then, but I was still like, damn, let's still fuck her.
It was the season, I think it had... Gosh, what was that? Or maybe that was Celebrity Rehab. I'm getting them mixed up because China, I think, was also on that one. Where they had the guy from Greece that was all, like, hooked up on pills all the time or something like that. I don't remember.
Yeah, he
didn't
die that long after. Yeah,
he ended up dying.
Yeah.
Those are some horrible shows. I can't believe I watched them now.
Right. But let's go ahead and end the show, and we'll be back next week, and hopefully we can... have a more set show, because like I say, everything was getting changed here the last day or so. So hopefully we'll be back next week with something going on. So everybody come back next week, and we will talk to everybody then.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Mexican shit. Let's go hook him up! And till I wear your Texas ass out every day. The game is ours to play. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.